The following podcast is a live recording of a radio show, first broadcast by Fresh FM, with assistance from New Zealand On Air.
Welcome, listeners. Welcome to Hearth Tales on Fresh FM. Join me, Rich McCoy, as we gather closer to hear the tales of seasoned artists, makers, creative souls, and those who love to support them. Listen to stories of their journeys, how they wrestle with their demons, and how they balance their calling with the scaffolding of admin, life, and self-promotion.
Welcome. We're going to do things a bit differently this week. Mainly because the interviews I've had lined up for this week have not been able to happen. So I'm going to interview myself, and hopefully that's not too strange for anybody. And I'm going to hopefully ask myself and talk to the same sort of things that I would ask of anybody else. So as an introduction, you may know I'm Rich McCoy. I'm a bit of a creative polymath, for the want of a very pretentious term. That means that I do lots of different creative things. I paint, I sculpt, I write, I do this radio show, I do podcasts, I do video making, and I also design and creative direct digital stuff. And my journey was maybe it's interesting, maybe it's not, we'll find out. I started when I got a painting set for, I think, one of my fourth or fifth birthdays. As a small child in Africa, and the day after my birthday, I hid inside my cupboard and I painted from the closet at probably about like 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, which is which is kind of my time that I like to create mostly. That's when it first started, and from then I ended up getting really into like role-playing games and painting little lead soldiers from there, and I realized I could paint and went on to win like national heats of painting competitions for those things. And then sort of a bit older, I realized I could make some money by painting leather jackets and car bonnets and the such. And it sort of went from there onwards. Ended up doing I didn't initially enroll to do art at school, because I was told that it was a waste of time and you should do something useful. I got convinced to do psychology and sociology at school. And at the time, I was undiagnosed dyslexic, and there was a lot of note-taking and a lot of writing essays. And I just struggled. I was really rubbish at it. So I skipped class. But I didn't skip class in the normal way, where I went off and just like smoked fags or something in a field somewhere in Worcestershire. I decided to skip class and go to a different one. I went to the art class, just sort of waltzed in there. Much to the amusement and surprise of the art teacher, Ed Snooks, who, God rest his soul, was a wonderful human. And it wasn't until about the third or fourth time I decided to turn up unannounced and without actually supposed to be there that he took me to sign. He was like, listen, you're meant to be here, but you probably should do it the proper way and talk to your sociology teacher and talk to me and arrange transferring. But you're here now, so get on with it. And that was really when it sort of like the feeling welcomed to doing art began. And that sort of pattern repeated itself when I went to college and decided to do a general art and design course at Worcester Technical College. But the administration intercepted my application and sort of sent me down and talked to me because they realised that their 3D design course was undersubscribed, and they talked me into doing that. Because school had told me that I should become a dental technician, because that was all they could think of doing with somebody who was quiet, introverted and creative. He should sit in dark rooms behind not having to deal with people and make teeth. I've never made a tooth. Don't intend to make teeth. So yeah, I got convinced to do 3D design, and after about 9 months of that and sitting around and designing exhibition stands and lamps and just general products, I got really bored of it and decided I was actually going to go and sit in the class that I originally applied for in the art design course, and loved it, really, really enjoyed it. At the time I was, you know, quite unusual looking, so long no more unusual looking than I am now, really, I suppose. But anyway, I kind of decided to join that course and went on to do a degree in fine art sculpture in Cheltenham, which was great. I loved it. Really loved it. 3 years of studying psychology and philosophy and art history and studio practice and all of these wonderful things, and got to spend my time with creative people and having creative dialogue, and just really thrived in that environment. And then, yeah, of course, as all good things, that comes to an end. During my time there, I'd started making films quite a lot. I became really interested in being a filmmaker and a cinematographer, and writing, because my work had always been, even my sculptural work, had always had a kind of narrative to it in some way. So it just felt like a natural progression for me to start making films. And I'd made a few, and I did my, a lot of my essays were films instead of written stuff, because by that time I'd become diagnosed as dyslexic, and as a result got bought a computer for writing my essays and stuff on, and scripts, and then started using them to do design work, and that sort of weaved its way into my sculptural practice. I ended up moving to Liverpool to do a postgraduate in business management, because I realised that the art degree, and certainly at the time, they were phenomenal for teaching you the creative skills and the philosophical skills. I knew nothing of business. I knew nothing of how to make a living doing what I was doing. So there was me in this business postgraduate with hair right down to my arse, thin, wafy, black, wearing pseudo-goth weirdo, surrounded by lawyers and accountants and captains of industry. It was quite a sight. It was quite an anomaly in that environment, but it was great learning. And I got a work placement in it was about 97 98. I got a work placement in a design agency, doing web design, because it just felt like a natural progression. And then it sort of progressed from there. So I think I designed my first website in 97, and then got picked up by Rupert Murdoch, who had decided that there was a platform for newspapers online. So there I was, designing Liverpool.com, this strange creature, and bought my own website, McCoy.co.uk, way back before Google existed. And that was my experimental place, because whilst working for newspapers and such, and agencies and all sorts of things around the world, was feeding my pocket, it left my soul empty. I've worked in that industry for a long, 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 long time. Well, since 98. And I've built stuff for some of the biggest companies in the world. I've built stuff that's been groundbreaking, that's won awards and all sorts of stuff. But it was boring. Oh, my Lord. It wasn't boring. It didn't feed my soul in a way that I wanted to feed my soul. So I always had this creative practice going on by the side, whether it be filmmaking, experimental filmmaking, or painting, or sculpting, or writing, or some such. That's always had a side practice. But I was able to put food on the table. I wasn't able to get to sleep, because that side practice usually meant me staying up till 2 a.m, doing whatever I was doing, the painting and such. And then getting up at 7, 8 o'clock to go and work in an office. So there was a lot of caffeine, which I've thankfully given up. And I was doing this up until about, when was it? Was it about 2-3 years ago? I got made redundant when the National Party coalition came into power, and businesses sort of wobbled and panicked a bit, and sort of briefs and budgets froze for a couple of months, and AI came in as this new shining hope of efficiency and wonder and joy and all this kind of good stuff. I found myself without work, and we were renting a place in Nelson which we couldn't afford, even though it was one of the cheapest places we could find. So we moved to a wee bus in Upper Moutry, and now I focus my time on doing this radio show and working for the Arts Council, just as voluntary, and writing my poems and short stories, and sculpting, and converting the bus, and looking after twin 5-year-old boys. So That's basically my story up until now. And why did this radio show come to be? Well, like I mentioned before, I was working remotely for an agency in Auckland, doing lots of stuff for One New Zealand and Mitre 10 and digital product stuff, after working briefly for the New Zealand government. And it was lonely working remotely. I really longed for creative conversations. So I decided I was going to start a website, because that was my business, called Hearth Tales. And the purpose of that website was to do interviews with creative people and artists and such. And they were all written interviews, and I was going to publish them, because I just wanted to hear the opinions and thoughts and the stories of creative folks. And so that's how this got... Well, that's how the first incarnation of this happened. And then I got interviewed on a Fresh FM show. And Chrissy laid down the challenge for me to create a show of my own. And I went away and slept on it. Well, first of all, I was like, well, me talking? No, don't be silly. And then I went away and sort of slept on it, as is the best thing to do of these things, and came back. Why don't I take that online? And here we are. This is why we're doing what we're doing now. So in addition to the radio show with this, I also, when I have the opportunity and the equipment together, I film them and put them out on YouTube. Because, you know, getting back to filmmaking, I think it's quite engaging. My dream is to go into studios and film artists at their work and interview them about them, because I think it's a much more engaging approach. But it's time and money. So yeah, let's keep those conversations going. If you are a creator yourself, whether it be music or arts, or you're a gallery owner or a curator or anything, really, anything that's doing something creative and interesting, and you've got a story that you think would be good to share, or you know somebody who fits that box, then so please get in touch. Probably the best way to do is to email me at rich@mccoy.co.uk. That's mccoy.co.uk. And then we'll start a dialogue and hopefully get you on the show and talk. So, yeah, what am I up to now? Well, as I mentioned earlier, I've started writing poetry and short stories. And I went to my first spoken word event and first sort of speaking in public at Revite. And if you're interested, I really recommend it. For me, I don't like speaking in public, which is odd for somebody who's doing a radio show, but I don't like standing in front of people and reading. But it really helped. It really helped overcome those fears. You're sharing your work in a very warm and welcoming environment, full of people who are also sharing their work in a warm and welcoming environment. So it's really wholesome and healthy, and I really recommend anybody who's sort of nervous about trying it for the first time or such, or just wants to come along and enjoy poetry, I really recommend that. So I think the plan is to do it on the first Saturday of every month from about 7 p.m. at Revite. It's really worth it. So yeah, pop along if you can, and maybe you'll see me reading. Maybe I'll hear you reading. That would be even better. And we can all enjoy the craft of doing something. So on that, let me share a piece of poetry that I've written, and it talks to my career, and it talks to some of the stuff I was talking about earlier in the show. And here we are. It's called "There Are More Currencies Than Coins." I started life as an artist. I was born this way, a head full of ideals, a spirit brimming with piss and vinegar. Then something happened. I let expectations take hold, put on the tie, became the husband, joined the ranks of the working men, wore a mask that betrayed my soul. And I did it well, really cussing well. I stood in the boardrooms and of multinationals. I built solutions that broke grounds. Hollywood producers called me at midnight with ideas. Apple applauded my work as among the best in the world. I walked high streets lined with my clients' names, burned into glass and neon. I crossed continents, too many times to count. My name appeared in books, magazines, podcasts. They even taught my methods in universities. My pockets were full, but my heart was empty. I dined with lords and ladies, but starved inside. I yearned for the autonomy of a craft that was mine. I yearned to make work from the soul. Free of briefs, free of business objectives. And then it happened. The machines rose. New titans of efficiency, soulless idols of cost-cutting, business owners bent the knee, chasing half-made work, casting human minds aside. I was discarded, like so many of my kind, scattered to the wind, and in the foiling, I found what I had always craved. Life on the breadline is hard. Nights bite cold. Days are unforgiving. I've seen my name blaze in lights again, with only lint in my pockets. We live as second-class citizens, technically homeless, yet more alive than I ever was in the boardroom. I found time with my children. I shattered the caffeine chains and drove my body to the edge and rediscovered the passion for creation. And I learn. There are more currencies than coins, the currency of time, of presence, of the freedom to make. And though the young gods of commerce no longer speak my name, the older gods of wildness and integrity, of passion and soul, have welcomed me home. Still, I won't lie, bread costs money, boots wear thin, even an artist must pay the ferryman. So a little bit of why I started writing. I think I was started writing because we don't have much space, and I certainly don't have much time, so painting in the evenings on a bus while you've got twin boys asleep at the back, it just takes a lot of logistical work. So I decided to find something that I could do that helped pull out the creative machinations of my mind without taking much space or time. So I write in the evenings, and I'm really enjoying it. The idea came to partner them with some sculptural pieces I'm doing. So these pieces I tend to refer to as lamentations. It helps me process what's going on in my world and what, you know, what I'm thinking about. Like, with the next piece I'll read is one of my twin boys. He had to go for open heart surgery up in Starship about a month ago. And this is, you know, as you can imagine, as a father, there's a lot of depth that goes in there and thought and concern and such. And I just sat by his bedside after he'd had the operation. He had a 2-centimeter hole in his heart, and it was quite brutal. And he's there on the machines beeping away in a room full of other poor children with their heart operations just done. It's phenomenal. Like, what Starship do is just blows my mind. Such medical professionals, absolutely phenomenal. And I just sat there in awe of both the establishment and the staff and my little boy. And this piece is called My Little Hero. My little hero, a jigsaw puzzle for a heart, born with a missing piece. You came with the gaze of an old soul, as if you had landed here before and decided to return to grace us with another visit. Your heart beat in strange rhythms, a jazz beat of blood and breath, a complex dance no easy feat could follow. But you did it, in your unsteady grace. You took it all in your wonky stride, silent tears in your eyes, a reluctant going with the flow that gave way to a brief resistance. Then came the call. The colourful robed healers summoned you to the narrow bed, to the bright lit chamber, where steel and fire would open the gates of your chest. They cut you open, ventured into the labyrinth, and from the vault of the living they borrowed a piece of light, fitting it to your hollow place, like a jewel in the crown of a young king. We surrounded you in concentric rings of love. People near and far sang songs of protection. A community stands firm for you, my love. And now you have that scar, a zipper down your chest, the mark of a quiet hero, the seal of a journey well travelled. Now I sit at your bed. You sleep a deep, painful sleep, while the night nurses keep vigil, fueled by Pringles and energy drinks. Fully aware, they guard a champion. You amaze me, little man. Not because it's your job, but because you have already walked where only heroes walk, and returned with the light in your chest. So yeah, that was written in Starship Hospital, 2-3 o'clock in the morning. As my little man slept on, apart from the finds that they woke him up to do observations and stuff. It's quite an adventure. So a little bit of a talk about my my creative process and how I write. I mentioned before I'm dyslexic. So what I do is I write everything on the computer first, or tablet or iPhone. But often that comes after several days of musing. I've got sort of three or four pieces of work bouncing around in my head. They may be sculptural, they may be paintings, they may be writing work, they may be stories, poems. And they're always bouncing around in my head, and they keep me entertained. And what tends to happen is that they bounce around for a while, and then I'll jot them down and jot down the key points that that I want the piece to do, and then sort of revisit it the next day and fill it out. Make it whole, in a very crude sense, sort of the whole write drunk, edit sober approach. Although I'm very rarely drunk these days, and that's the approach I take. So it's all very raw. I don't care for the spelling. I don't care much for the grammar. I have tools that help me with that afterwards, and then I will put it through AI. I will put it through AI, not to rewrite the stuff. I make it very clear that I don't want it to rewrite anything. I just want it to clear up the spelling and clear up the grammar and critique the work. And then I will take that feedback away and redraft stuff in a writing program, and do that for several rounds until I feel that the piece is emotionally poignant enough and taut enough for me. And still my voice. It's never the voice of a bot. I never go write in the style of such and such. It's just tidy up the grammar, tidy up the spelling. Where can it be improved? Is this misleading? Where's the repetition? And that really helps. It really helps me. It means that I can write. For somebody who's always been very sort of shy of their own writing, it gives me an opportunity to do such. So that's how I write. So there are just two more pieces I want to read, I suppose. The first is The Margin Walkers, and this was the first piece of poetry I read in public, in part because of the advice of Redwood Ryder, who was on the show a couple of weeks ago. So this is The Margin Walkers. We are the margin walkers, born of the same blood, the same bone, your brothers, your sisters, kin but not of your world. We do not speak your language of likes and logos, nor leal to idols of status or kings. We are drawn to the wild, to the whispering dark, to the raw, the untamed, the wholly unscripted. We walk to the edge of what is known, courting the shadow. We hunger for depth, for archetype, for old stories etched in stone and dream, lighting fires beneath forgotten myths, summoning meaning. We do not understand your games, do not climb your ladders, do not shine for your cameras. We abhor the churn of empty talk, the false brightness of the screen, the plastic sheen of small ambitions. You will not find us at the water cooler, nor beneath neon halos. Find us in the forest, in the salt wind on the shore, in the marshes even, in the ruins. We gather at dusk, not to escape, but to return. We speak of justice, of soul, of the broken spell of empire. We are weaving a world not yet born, and though you do not see us, we are already rising, in cracks of pavement, in songs around kitchen tables, in the glint of rebellion in a child's eye, in the hands that plant, repair, and heal. We rise through story, through silence, through kindness in the face of cruelty. We are the memory of the old ways and the murmur of what comes next. You are welcome. You are kin too. When you are ready, the fire will burn. The path will meet your feet, and together we will walk again in the margins at dawn. Yeah. Anybody who feels by one of my twins earlier, the one about the heart operation, and this was inspired by my other twin, and that we live on the land, and I heard this sort of fizzle and crackle and pop and weird noise coming from the heavens, and I looked up and it was a real low shooting star burning up right above my head, and I told my son about this. I told the other son, and he retold the story, but I think he combined the story with the story of the origin story of the blackbird and why the blackbird has a red beak. And he decided that a bird had caught the shooting star, which set me to thinking about creating an origin myth about the martlet, which is a heraldic bird that has no legs. And then in that, I also, you know, as is the creative's wont, I combined it with the story of parenthood. So here we go. This is called Everflight. In the first days, before hedges cut the land and men tamed the fields, two swallows fell in love so fierce it drowned the turning of the year. They lingered when the kettles flew south, and in their rapture hatched nestlings too tender for winter's hand. The cold came swift, the frosts came hard, the skies emptied of insects, the earth locked tight. If they huddled close, they starved. If they hunted, they froze. The chicks waned, their voices dimmed like embers in the ash. The mother sang, a song trembled beneath life and death, a hymn warmth. If they huddled close, they starved. If they hunted, they froze. The chicks waned, their voices dimmed like embers in the ash. The mother sang, a song trembling between life and death, a hymn of warmth that could not keep the chill away. The father wept, knowing love must pay its price. He rose into the midnight sky, frost crowning every branch with silver. The heavens tore, a star fell white gold, blazing like a shard of the sun itself. He dove, wings slicing darkness, and caught the burning stone in his claws. Agony ripped through him, fire blistering flesh to bone, yet he held on, love stronger than fear, stronger than the laws of the world. The star seared and smoked, shards of light scattering across the night, yet he bore it back, claws burning, heart straining, carrying the warmth of a sun for the life of his brood. He plunged into the nest, legs lost in flame, yet the star lodged in the branches above, casting warm radiance that drew insects from miles. Life returned through fire, sacrifice made flesh. The chicks were saved, the mother's song lifted, praise and grief braided together, for the one she loved could never touch the earth again. She sang to him across the seasons, songs of sons he could never return to, of a love undiminished, torn by fate. Her voice became the wind, a lament threading sky to soil, and from him came the martlet, rootless wanderer of the air, pilgrim of the in-between. Wing that never folds, heart that never lands. He bears the scar of fire and follows forever the voice of love. And still she calls, at dawn, at dusk, a mother's song unending, a hymn for every parent who has ever given all they are, yet lost what they once held. So my work can be found mostly on mccoy.co.uk. It's got a mixture of film and painting and art and poetry and all the kinds of creative musings. Drop me an email. If you want to come on here, like I said before, let me know and we'll work something out. Thank you very much for listening.
Thank you for lending us your ears. You can find more interviews and how to request a Hearth Tale featuring your favourite New Zealand artist, maker or creative soul on our website, hearthtales.com. And you can listen to this episode of Hearth Tales on freshfm.co.nz with a new show every fortnight. Until next time, fare thee well, friends. Fare thee well.
The podcast you just listened to was a live recording of a radio show, first broadcast on Fresh FM, with support from New Zealand On Air. Fresh FM is a community access media station based in Te Tauihu, the top of the South Island, New Zealand. The funding of Access Media makes these podcasts possible. To find similar programs by other community access media stations, go online to accessmedia.nz. If you or your group would like to know more about how you can have a program on our station, please contact us. Visit our website, freshfm.net, for our contact details.